Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to the Robin Walters Show. Glad to have you here this Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to try to give thanks. We will give thanks, not because of what's going on, but because who's on the throne. It's pretty simple. We do win in the end. In the meantime, it's an e-ticket ride, both in this life and on this program. Well, I do have a little bit of good news just to share, kind of in the secular area, but then I want to get on to some deeper things here. I love the fact that the Kansas legislature is now passing a bill to protect workers from the vaccine dictatorial mandate. Yes. And also introducing legislation. I think it's going to be called Kyle's Law for Kyle Rittenhouse. God bless this man. I hope you watched the interview of this incredibly intelligent, soft-spoken, nice kid on Tucker Carlson. I mean, I was blown away at his composure, his control. I mean, even those people who did him in, like Pierce and Lynn Wood, the fake Christian lawyer, fundraising off. He was still nice about those. He just said, you know, they fundraising off him. But he's saying that while he was smiling, while he was left in jail. Of course, he's in jail for, what, over a month with no bail? But precious little black racist Daryl Brooks, who mowed down a whole bunch of whites, that guy, he's out. You can thank George Soros and his left-wing Let's Change All the Prosecutors in the World program to turn him into left-wing activists. You know, I'll tell you right now, I have a program. I don't know if I'll get to it because it could be trumped by something else next week. And it's called, I got to tell you what it's called. I'm taking this from another party a little bit. It's called the plague of black racism. The racism we see in this country now is not really white. It's by blacks. And it's not the majority of the blacks. I feel badly, horribly for my black brothers and sisters who have to put up with all the crapola coming from the low-information brethren of theirs. Because there's low-information whites, low-information, they're low-information everything. But more about how Joe Biden is a major criminal. He's a domestic terrorist, as far as I'm concerned, by what he has instigated, which we will cover more in this program. But next week, it's just time. It's got to be said. It's got to be shared. But for right now, the other thing happening in the legislature, they're introducing a bill called Kyle's Law to provide for lawsuits, and I hope criminal prosecution of prosecutors who are involved in blatantly malicious prosecution, as Binger, who got a zinger there in Kenosha. We need this. We need to be able to sue every prosecutor that is funded by George Soros, who wouldn't know the Constitution, wouldn't recognize the Constitution in a law library. The fact that Kyle Rittenhouse was innocent was so obvious from the video. And you've got news organizations that said he killed three black men. And the amount of lies is just simply unbelievable. mostly elitist whites, fueling it to, I'm sorry, but low information blacks and whites, low information whites too, who pick up on it and riot and rip the shreds out of this country on Thanksgiving week. I would love to see this bill passed and start throwing their stupid derriers in jail. Take away their homes, their retirement programs, prosecutors who are obviously malicious. That Kyle Rittenhouse sits in jail for a month, doesn't get a shower for a month because they're trying to make a political object out of what they have, while Daryl Brooks is supposedly just one more mentally destabled black guy who in fact is an avowed racist. We got the information on him. It was F Trump this and F Republicans that and all this rap crap of his. So let me just ask you something. Why is it that Daryl Brooks, I'm sorry, I am still technically in the good news portion here, but why is Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist and a racist when he, a white guy, before a white jury and a white judge, who shoots three of his attackers, all of whom are white, why? How is he racist? And Daryl Brooks, the wild black racist that he is, mows down, kills six whites in Waukesha, injures 48. He knows it's a white-dominated parade. He plows them over. And why do we not have a hate crime filing against this jackass? Why? I mean, I've got to tell you, I'm getting off. I'm getting into next week's topic. I do not want to do that, but this is angering me, as you can well tell, that we have a two-tiered system here in this country now. There is preferential for black defendants over white defendants. Now people say, well, we're making up for the past. It's reparations. How many stores do you have to loot to have reparations? I don't have any known slave traders, holders, or racists in my ancestry. Came out of the Dutch, the English, mostly Dutch and some English. If I do, so what? I am not responsible for that. It's a biblical point. The parents are not responsible for the sins of the children. The sins of the children. The children are not responsible for the sins of the parents. Two wrongs don't make a right. I can't. If you take away, okay, so you got to justice in the Aubrey matter. Understood. But the amount of crime today, which is being fueled, funneled, encouraged by white elites, that I search all sorts of news. I can't seem to find a video anymore, current, of a white person beating up a black person. But I got them all over the place, on trains, subways, street corners, parking lots, basketball courts. It has been unleashed, this entitlement to smash and bash whites and now increasingly Asians. So you got Michelle Malkin and others weighing in on it. It's white elitists that apparently want a civil war. And I will tell you, low information blacks and low information whites are the stupid pawns in their game. And I feel terrible, awful about my black brothers and sisters who are put in a awful situation. They know the truth. But they are going to end up suffering to some extent the suspicion and the wariness of Asians and whites who no longer will ever trust go into a black neighborhood without a loaded gun in their pocket. And if you don't think this is happening, I'll tell you what, to make sure I knew whereof I am speaking, I went and looked at the FBI stats. Should look them up. The amount of black on white crime is absolutely horrific. Horrific. The violence coming out of the black, 13% of the population, 38% of all violent crime. 38%. Now, most of it's against blacks, but it's disproportionately against whites, as opposed to whites against blacks. The whites don't dare to do say anything. They're going to get the same shake as Kyle Rittenhouse got, and that was he's presumed guilty until proven innocent because they're going to make a political object out of him. It's a terrible situation, and what I said I am feeling badly for my black brothers and sisters is that they're put in a situation where they probably got family members who probably are supportive of all the looting that's going on in the 25 cities and smashing windows, and somehow it's reparations. Understand, the enemy, who is Satan, is the divider in chief. That's Joe Biden. Let's have unity. Knock it off with a crap, Joe. You retarded nincompoop, nitwit, imbecilical moron, filled with all perversion and perverseness. Why don't you just go sniff about four more girls' hair who are somewhere between the ages of 8 and 12 and rub your hands on your shoulders, you perv, which we have this day. I just saw this video. Did it make the mainstream news? Of course not. It's Joe moving in on some 3 or 4 year old girl in the arms of her mother. She's backing off and he's trying to poke her with his little finger. She bats and swats his hand away. If she could speak, she'd probably say, "Get away from me, you pervert." And then the video I saw, my goodness. Donald Trump Jr.'s montage of all of Joe Biden's perversion and fawning and molesting of women and girls, and can't quit rubbing his hands over their shoulders and stroking their hair and kissing them here and there. Oh, don't give me this. I'm just a gentle old grandpa. No, you're a pervert. So this week, Thanksgiving week, New York City Democrats are giving voting rights to 1 million non-citizens. Joe Biden's energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, who I am embarrassed to say was governor of Michigan, she does not even know how many barrels of oil the U.S. uses per day. The Secretary of Energy doesn't know jack squat diddly about her own job. How many barrels of oil do we use in this country? Would you think that the head of the Department of Energy would know that? Not Jenny Granholm, no. No, she's just too busy. I don't know. I don't even want to say that. Is there some good news in this? Yes, Kyle Rittenhouse can sue Jen Psaki. Call it either way. She can sue Joe Biden. Defamation, calling him a white supremacist. He never took it back. He never apologized. And that's why when Kyle Rittenhouse gets acquitted, we got all this rampaging and destruction by blacks all over the country. Now, they're not exclusively black. There's some whites behind those black hoods and faces, but not very many. He's just given license to this. He's encouraged it. He doesn't have the brains or the morals to deal with his own job and his own incompetence. And he can sue Joe Biden and Jen Psaki. Why? For defamation. Because Jen Psaki wasn't in any position of... She's not immune to lawsuits. And Joe Biden, when he defamed Kyle Rittenhouse, was not a government official. He was just running for office. He was campaigning from his basement while he's playing in trains with his trains, of course, because he never really came out much. He just talked from his basement. Old Joe, he's not Sleepy Joe. He's Joe the perv. Biden causes Dollar Tree to now become a buck and a quarter tree. 25% they've had to raise the prices because of Joe's Bidenflation. And then the White House, Jen Psaki, goes on to claim that Kyle Rittenhouse, and defends it, was actually really truly a white supremacist without no evidence whatsoever, but they can't call Daryl Brooks a black racist who mows down 54 whites in a parade. You see why I'm ticked off? I get ticked off whenever there's unfairness, whatever the side is. Whatever the side is. And yeah, in the Arbery trial, they needed to be convicted. But why is that a big deal? Because it's all the left has. You can't find videos all over the place of whites beating up blacks. It's the other way around. I mean, it's just, You're probably getting upset at me here, but I can't help it. It's just finally time for the truth to come out. I do not know exactly if you are a Christian black brother and sister in the Lord, how you deal with this. Because you got to deal with family members who probably support some of them this garbage. But you got to step up because they aren't going to hear it from a white guy like me ranting. I'll rant. They don't want to listen. They don't listen. But here's the sad thing about this. There are a lot of whites who I honestly, really, truly believe don't have a racist bone in their body, and they aren't even Christians. They just haven't behaved that way. But you know what? They're getting to be that way. They're getting to be that way. Why do I hear things that you, for the blacks listening to this program, you wouldn't hear coming from a white guy. But another white guy would hear, just like there's certain things blacks will say to you if you're a white black person that they wouldn't say to me. Not too many anymore, it doesn't seem like. But this is just gone out of control. It's gone out, and the fact of the matter, is there a divide happening? Absolutely there is. And it breaks my heart. I see a replication of the Civil War from the 19th century, which I'll go into greater detail in a little bit about it. But Rittenhouse, sue Psaki and Biden. Just sue them and sue them and sue them and sue the prosecutors for malicious prosecution. I mean, last night, more grab and gun theft hits Southern California, another Nordstrom. Robberies on Black Friday. Security guards getting pepper sprayed while they come in with crowbars. You know what? If I was in a store and people came in with a crowbar, I have to assume they're going to use the crowbar against me. And out comes the 357 Magnum or what other your gun of choice. Because if you have a reasonable belief that you are in imminent danger of severe bodily harm or death, you may use lethal force. And maybe it's just time for these people to be shot. Coming in with crowbars. We're coming in with crowbars. Yes. That is if you have a reasonable belief that you are in imminent danger with somebody coming at you with a crowbar, you can use lethal force. Imminent danger of serious bodily harm or death. All I'm saying is you have to have that reasonable belief. And somebody coming at you with a crowbar, and I think is reasonable enough. I don't really care about the races involved, whether the attacker is white or black, or whether the defender is white or black. The fact is, all what this comes down to, this whole Rittenhouse thing, comes down to the fact that we are under an attack, ultimately, to get rid of the Second Amendment. Because only the Second Amendment keeps us from being socialistic or communistic. That's all it is. Well, that's not the only news. Biden welcomed to Nantucket on Thanksgiving Day with a bunch of people throwing up the middle finger of diplomacy. That's what they think of you. While Apple and Nordstrom stores get hit in the last minute smash and grab robberies in California. This was a funny one. I forgot the university where the students just now, students at the university level, just learned that Black Friday has nothing to do with race. Is this how dumb our students are? Is this how indoctrinated they are? I think probably so. And then the magazine, The Atlantic, the venerable Atlantic. Well, it's not so venerable. It's just a left-wing rag. It's not even good enough to train your dog how to poop inside. Your dog deserves something better than The Atlantic. They told people to use Thanksgiving, when families coming together, as an opportunity to either deprogram or report conservative relatives. Joe Biden. Yeah, Wisconsin Christmas parade massacre is a horrific act of violence. That's what he said. Did he call Daryl Brooks a black supremacist? Did he call him a black racist? No, because he doesn't have the cojones to do it. It's a double standard. It's a two-tiered system. It's just a catch-and-release program in the big cities these days under liberal prosecutors. We're looking for the social justice, social equity. Save it with that crap. I want justice. Anything that precedes the word justice is an aberration of the term. Social justice is a meaningless term. Justice means making that which is wrong right. Why don't you talk about social justice, gender justice, environmental justice? Knock it off with the happy crap. I'm getting wrapped up and ramped up today because of what is going on is so serious. Joe Biden, not only does he have the blood on his hands of the 13 troops killed in Afghanistan, he has the blood all over his hands, his mouth, and his head for the 6 that were killed in Waukesha and the 48 that are hospitalized and injured, because he has given animation and encouragement and fuel to the whole white supremacist lie. What we've experienced under Joe is black supremacism. That's what we have. Whites are always wrong. Blacks are never wrong. That's what it comes down to. And you guys out there, my black brothers and sisters, you know what I'm telling you is the truth. You observe it, as some of you, and I've got some that report to this program and feed me stories, which I appreciate so much. But I understand a lot of you are caught. You're trapped. You're sort of trapped. How do I navigate this system of, okay, we can have our black brothers and sisters over, the ones that hated Trump and all of this, and think that, is it Black Lives Matter anymore? Well, Michelle Malkin said there's been a typo. Drop the V out of the word lives. It's Black Lives Matter. And the Black Lives Matter are largely formed, conceived by your white elitists, fed to the black community, where then it transfers down to, I don't know, and metastasizes through much of these communities to give them somehow a vindictive right to be able to trash, burn, loot, and in some cases murder, beat up whatever white person. I couldn't believe it. I can't get into it. I would get too carried away on it. But Biden is up to many dead people on his hands. Had he not given fuel and fire to this whole white supremacist thing about Kyle Rittenhouse and everything else that he does, and then not walk it back and apologize for it, he owns the bloodshed in Waukesha. He is the one who is basically telling the black community and your white tagalongs that form the Antifa that it's okay to do this. This is your justice. This is your reparation. Get back a whitey. I'll tell you, we're heading for civil war. And I will tell you, on both sides of the civil war, both sides, on the good side, the right side, there will be white, black, and Hispanic, and Asians. On the right side. And there'll be a bunch of each. On the wrong side. That's where we're headed. And it breaks my heart. I have seen this coming for a long time, but the speed at which it is developing is just simply over the top. I just can't even. And then you've got, every time I look at Joe Biden's face, I look at the complete space and vacuity, the vacuum, the airhead. There's nothing there. There's nothing in that head other than demonically inspired and fueled input from his handlers. His answer to high gas prices? Buy electric cars. Thanks, Joe, you piece of crap. He says here, quote, for the hundreds of thousands of folks who bought one of those electric cars, they're going to save $800 to $1,000 in fuel costs this year. And what was he referring to? That's the savings on a $113,000 electric Hummer pickup that he drove at a General Motors factory in Detroit earlier this month. That's what he's referring to. Oh, yeah, Go out and buy this car for $113,000 and you can save $800 a year. How stupid can anybody possibly be? And then to be president? So I raised a question last week that I was amazed how in Africa, the number, the WHO is mystified why Africa is not having the COVID numbers that they should have. Why are they not having the COVID numbers they should have? Well, listener, from California wrote to me and said, well, there's an answer. It's because that continent, which has been afflicted with malaria to a great degree, has a widespread use and distribution of hydroxychloroquine. Am I saying that right? Hydroxychloroquine? I think I am. I've got about six different ways I can say that word. I don't know if I got the right one today or not. But guess what? Apparently, that treatment for malaria is also an effective treatment against COVID. Will WHO acknowledge that? No, because then their whole gig with Pfizer and Moderna and J&J goes up in smoke. It's a bust for Fauci and his Faucinistas. Domestic terrorist number one, Anthony Fauci. But that's why. And thank you. Thank you to our listener in California who gave me that piece of information because it answers the question. I said either A, they really truly don't know, but I thought B, they do know, but if they let it out, their gig is up. They've gone bust. Well, okay. Time for me to calm down here. I hope I can do this. One last thing on the Rittenhouse verdict. Cammie Harris, what a slug. What an absolute airhead. She said the proof, Rittenhouse verdict is proof that, quote, we have a lot more work to do, end quote. Yes, Cammie, you're right. We got to get rid of left-wing prosecutors. We got to get rid of people who have an animosity towards conservatives. We have to actually cleanse the judicial system of a left-wing bias and increasing favoritism towards black defendants. We have a lot of work to do. Yes, we do, Cammie. But that's not what she meant. She meant that somehow that this jury of 12 couldn't possibly come to the right conclusion. And that obviously, what kind of work is it to do, Cammie? Your little infrastructure bill where you take a gazillion dollars and further indoctrinate young children in schools to be further from the truth all the way? Well, that's probably is exactly what it is. Boy, oh boy. This is Thanksgiving week, isn't it? Yeah. Am I doing much Thanksgiving here? Well, you know what that old saying is? You have to work before you get to play. I have to tell you these other truths before we get to the joy. We have to work at the bad stuff and expose it, and then we'll get to the good stuff. When we come back, I've had enough of Rittenhouse and how Joe Biden has the blood on his hands in Kenosha. Waukesha, I am sorry, along with the 13 soldiers that died. Joe, you're a bloody president. When we get back to more blood to be shared.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Take this. this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
We're back. This is Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show. A couple of quick things before we jump into a COVID update. And that's more than an update. Every week seems to bring about a bigger revelation than the week before. Just a couple of quick things. Nancy Pelosi buys a $25 million home. And where does Nancy Pelosi buy a $25 million home? In Florida. Nancy Pelosi, who can't stand everybody crapping on the sidewalk in her beloved town of San Francisco, who can't stand all the Walgreens that have closed, what, 18 of them because of all the looting. She can't handle all the looting of the stores of Nordstrom and whatever, eBay, Saint Laurent, did I even say that right? Who cares? Anyway, and all these other stores. No, she's got to get out of the hellhole that she helped create. And what does she do? She runs to Florida for sanctuary and to Ron DeSantis. What hypocrisy. I wouldn't let her in. I'd come up with some aunt. I don't know. I don't know how you do it, but I wouldn't let her in. So the loony libtards are running to Florida to take cover under the guy that they publicly despise, but privately they love because they want to protect themselves from the very things they have created. Looters, burning mobs, vicious people. See, it's only a matter of time in this left-wing push that these left-wing BLM and Antifa consider Nancy Pelosi too conservative. Pretty amazing, huh? Well, the Democrats are an interesting group. I just never have really known a people group that seemed to be so increasingly possessed by evil. Right down to, okay, You think the FBI is on our side? Do you think the FBI is on the side of justice? Let me put it that way. Not anymore. So what do? You've got this Antifa guy who's a white guy who takes an axe to a GOP senator's office in North Dakota. He's on the video. Got the Alexander Starks of Lisbon, North Dakota, pleading guilty to destruction of government property, took an axe to the glass and the window and the door of a senator. And guess what? Where most people will get 10 to 16 months in prison, because he's a protected member of Antifa, he gets probation. And he's ordered to pay $2,784 in restitution. And not only that, the FBI gives him back his axe. That's right. They give him back the axe that he used to destroy government property with. Whose side are they on? How about that mother from Colorado? I forgot her last name. Sharona, who's 9:30 a.m. FBI shows up because she's protesting school board meetings. Shows up at her door 9:30 a.m., pounding on the door, concerned. Now that might be, she's in there homeschooling her three kids. And then you end up using a battering ram, come through her door, haul her 18-year-old daughter up the stairs by a hoodie, and then making various threats. Is the FBI simply turning into the Joe Biden Gestapo? Well, if you listen to some ex-FBI agents, they are almost at the point of weeping, knowing that the agency that they gave the best years of their life to has become nothing more and increasingly a goon squad for the left. That is why you need to have arms, ammo, and training, and know when you can legally, properly, and safely use your firearms. Going to not go any further than that. Okay. The COVID monster, Vancouver Hospital, Canada, averaging one stillbirth per month at this North Van, which is North Vancouver Hospital. One stillborn per month is their typical rate of stillborns. Since the precious little COVID vaccine has come out, they're now averaging 14 dead babies per month. The last 86 stillborns, which covers about the last 6 or 7 months, 100% of the women who are having dead babies are fully vaccinated. A fact. All right, let that soak in for a minute before we move on to something that just gets even worse, more damning. Europe actually has a database that tracks COVID vaccine deaths, not just COVID deaths, COVID vaccine deaths. How many people are getting shot, literally dead, shot dead by the vaccine? The number in Europe, 30,551 fatalities and 1.1 million adverse vaccine events due to the precious COVID vax, Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, and AstraZeneca. This is all reported by the European Union's official database. They don't seem to be hiding the fact that the vaccines are killing people. Now, the U.S. Human Services Department, and we have the VAERS system, which is the Vaccine Adverse Effect Reporting System. Vaccine Adverse Effect Reporting System. Through November 12th, in the United States, they've reported from the vaccine 18,853 deaths and 1.7 million adverse events, meaning they're hospitalized, they get sick, they got rashes, they're whatever, whatever. Now, the U.S. Health and Human Services Department is making a big point of saying what the VAERS report is not documentation that a link has actually been established between a vaccine and an adverse event. May be true, but like one of my clients who died recently, gets a shot on Tuesday, he's dead on Thursday, no other thing, no other problems, myocarditis. I actually know more people dead from the vaccine than dead from COVID. But something that Health and Human Services Department did acknowledge, because they have to, is that VAERS is actually a passive system of reporting. They even acknowledge that it receives reports from only a small fraction of actual adverse events because a lot of people don't report it. Who goes to the hospital because they've had the vaccine and they're in there for 5 days? They escape death. They come home. How many of them actually get online and report it? Very few. Very few do that. And guess what? The hospitals, the doctors have no obligation, zero obligation to do so. Zero. That's why they said, well, the reports may be only a small fraction of actual adverse events, using their language. Because many healthcare workers have disclosed that they are instructed by their superiors absolutely to not report to VAERS any harm caused by the COVID vaccines. So, the Lazarus report, which has come out, I don't know the origin of the Lazarus report, but it says that it may be possible that VAERS reports only as much as 1% of vaccine injuries. Now, if that's true, that would mean that the vaccine injuries are in the tens of millions caused by the vaccine. And the deaths in the United States may not be 18,000. It could be 180,000, or if it's 1%, that'd be 1.8 million. Do the math, folks. The World Health Organization also has a database that compiles adverse drug reactions called VigiAccess. VigiAccess. You can look it up. So it's recorded more than 2.5 million adverse events from COVID-19 vaccines. The breakdown of the reactions can be found in, you're not going to believe this. I'm going to give you just a rough, quick overview of some of the adverse events reported to the World Health Organization as a result of the vaccines. Blood and lymphatic system disorders, cardiac disorders, congenital family and genetic disorders, ear and labyrinth disorders, endocrine disorders, eye disorders, gastrointestinal disorders, general disorders, which I don't know what that is, hepatobiliary disorders, H-E-P-A-T-O-B-I-L-L-A-R-Y. I don't even know what that is. But it doesn't sound good. If it's a disorder, it's not good, right? Immune system disorders, infections, infestations, injury, poisoning, and procedural complications, which is not further described. Metabolism and nutrition disorders, musculoskeletal and connective tissue disorders, neoplasms, benign, malignant, and unspecified, including cysts and polyps are showing up. Nervous system disorders, pregnancy, and perinatal conditions that are abnormal. Psychiatric disorders, renal and urinary disorders, reproductive system and breast disorders, respiratory, thoracic, and mediastinal, I don't know what that means, mediastinal disorders, skin and subcutaneous tissue disorders, vascular disorders. Those are the kinds of things which pretty much covers your whole body, top to bottom, front to rear, every organ that can be affected. Now, sit back and listen to these numbers. Don't get lost in the numbers. Just listen to the progression I'm going to give you from the World Health Organization. So on this database that they have, it goes back over 50 years. It goes back as far as 1968. What's that, 53 years? 53 years now? And what they do, they have adverse reactions, which they call adverse drug reaction, an ADR. That's the short for it. And they give you the total adverse drug reactions, or ADRs, for a long period of time that's been reported to them. So for 50 years for the mumps vaccine, they had 711 ADRs, adverse drug reaction. For rubella, they had 2,621 for the same time period. For the measles vaccine, they had 5,827 ADRs for 53 years. For penicillin, 6,684 adverse reactions in 53 years. Smallpox, about the same number. Tetanus doubles that, 15,085 adverse reactions in 53 years. Hepatitis A vaccine triples the tetanus vaccine problems with 51,000 for 53 years. Get down to hepatitis B vaccine, we're at 104,619. And that is in a smaller time period, and that's 37 years, going back to 1984. Polio, which for 53 years, 122,000 adverse reactions. Ibuprofen for 52 years, 166,000 adverse reactions. Tylenol for the same period, 169,000 adverse reactions, and aspirin, 184,000 adverse reactions. We get to the flu vaccine, we take a huge jump for the 53 years, from aspirin at 184,000 to 272,000 adverse drug reactions to the flu vaccine. That's for 53 years. Keep that in mind. The second highest drug reaction listed, covering a period of 53 years, is for the flu vaccine of 272,000. COVID-19 vaccine for 53 years? No. 52 years? No. 37 years? No. 18 months. And that's a stretch. It's closer to a year, but 18 months, the adverse drug reactions for only 18 months, 2,457,386. So we have, in 18 months, a 1,000% higher adverse drug reaction in 18 months for COVID vaccines than for flu vaccines, which is the second highest, over 53 years. So we're being bamboozled. This is just, it's just, on how many deaths do we have in this country from the stupid vaccine? I know there's a lot of people out there who have had it and haven't had a problem yet. Wait till you take the booster. Now your time of high risk, because they say the highest risk is the first month. You get to reset that trigger. That reset occurs for when you get to be at high risk again for getting wiped out or going into the hospital or just saying adios to this world. And so what happens worldwide? Because this is the ticket to an antichrist control of the world. This is a ticket. You're seeing it. Austria. This is, you know, I wanted to go to Austria. I love the Sound of Music is my favorite musical. Probably seen it 12 times. I always wanted to go to Austria just to see where this thing was filmed. It's a beautiful setting. Not anymore. The Austrian government has announced that it will be forcing all residents, not just some, forcing mandatory inoculation. Gee, what else would you expect from a derivative government of the Nazis? Forcing all residents to take the Chinese Communist Party vaccine. Those who refuse will face heavy fines, and the government has said possible prison sentences for refusing to take the vaccine. And then you have now Northern Australia, one of the provinces in Australia, has begun locking up people who have been exposed but are not vaccinated, are locking them up. They got quarantine camps. So if they come to your door and saying, we're going to haul you away to a quarantine camp because you haven't taken the vaccination, what's your response? I don't know. Tell them, hey, I hope you guys brought a body bag because you're not taking me. So I hope you came equipped. This can be self-defense. That's what that is. When you know that what they're doing is basically to haul you off on a train to someplace and do whatever they want. Goodness sakes. Well, we have a civil war coming, folks. We do. You see, a century and a half ago, in the mid-19th century, the issue, there were many issues. Slavery was only one of them. But we had a country that was divided. But we didn't have just a country that was divided. We also had states that were divided. But we didn't have just states that were divided. We also had communities that were divided. We didn't have just communities that were divided. We had churches that were divided. We didn't have just churches that were divided. We had families that were divided. Satan is the divider, and he has a divider in chief in the White House. And God has allowed it. We're just going to reap what we have sown. He's sitting there in the White House or in his basement playing with his trains like he did during the campaign, talking about white supremacy and vaccine mandates and anything and everything to shame certain people and bring totalitarian dictatorial control into the hands of a left-wing, God-hating, Christophobic, bibliophobic government. And what do we have today? What do we have today? We have a country that's divided. We have states that are now divided. We have communities that are divided. We have churches that are divided, and we have families that are divided. We have never had this degree of division, and it's the same kind of division as we had since the lead-up days to the Civil War. That's coming. That's why they want to get rid of our guns and ammo, is because they know they really can't pull it off as long as the people are armed and can defend themselves. So this is where we are as a country. This is a civil war we are not just facing. It's coming. It's happening. And you see it taking its toll in so many places. This thing, this record number of pastors, more than half of mainline preachers and almost 40% of non-mainline preachers are wanting to quit in the pulpit. Well, it says in Matthew 13, how did we get here? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You see, our churches have been sleeping. Our pastors have been sleeping. And now that many of them are getting a wake-up call, they don't want the job anymore because they can't handle it. They didn't do it right early on, and they can't handle it now, and they want to get out. It's too bad. It really is. But what does Jesus say? He said when the people said, well, let's go pull up the tares. And he said, no, don't pull up the tares now, lest you also uproot the wheat. There will come a time when things will be dealt with accordingly. He said, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but then gather the wheat into my barn. So the bad ones are gathered first. So much of that whole pre-trib rapture thing, huh? The ones that get toasted first are the bad ones. He doesn't remove the good from the bad. He removes the bad from the good. Put that in your theological pipe and smoke it. That's where we are. So things are going to get worse. There's only certain things that we can do. We don't need to be overthrowing the government. Nothing in this and anything I ever say leads to that. However, when tyranny becomes law, revolution becomes duty, and revolution, in my way of thinking, simply means to be standing up for the Constitution, defending yourself because you have a right to when you're in an imminent fear of severe of bodily harm and or death from whatever the source, whether it's somebody on a subway train, be they white or black or brown, or whether it's a government official abusing their authority, you have the right to defend yourself. It's where we are. Maybe this program doesn't survive this program. I don't know. But the word has got to get out. Am I hopeful? Am I thankful? Yes, because I read this same passage from Matthew 13. That the tares are going to get yanked out first. How about that? I don't know how that works. You see, because we don't get raptured till the end of the tribulation, there's many that get toasted long before that. There's a lot of judgment that wipes out bad people before the final judgment, but before the final judgment, then we get yanked at the end of the tribulation. Read my book, The Rapture Revisited. Finally, a lawyer takes a look at end time events. And yes, I'm also thankful for something else, and that is because Joe Biden has announced that he's going to run for president again in 2024. There's nothing more than I would like than a moronic, demonic nincompoop running for president again and assure, unless there's mass, gross voter fraud, that he would be defeated. And my final encouragement is to my black brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I hope you haven't turned me off in this. I have a word for you. This is your time and place. It is your time to stand up, run for political office, run for school boards. Make your voice known as a black Christian. You've eliminated a whole bunch of whiteys who would otherwise take down a white person. We're going to have a harder time, and you know what? They can get away calling one or two of you an Uncle Tom, maybe 10 or 20. They would even try 1,000, but not when there's 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 running for political office. Pastors who say, you know what? I think I've concluded my tour of duty in the pulpit. It's time for me to run for the House of Representatives and restore this country to what it was. They can't call 100,000 of you Uncle Toms. This isn't going to be done by white guys like me. It's going to be done by blacks and Hispanics. I've said this for 15 years. I believe it now more than ever. The only way this country can turn around and bring things into a measure of sense and accountability is going to be through minority Christians rising up. God bless you guys and gals. Do what God has called you here for. You've been raised up for just such a time as this. As John the Baptist said about Jesus, I must decrease, he must increase. Well, maybe as a white guy in my age, maybe it's I decrease. Maybe it's time for you to increase your exposure. Take the chance. Take the risk. You got God on your side. That's your thing. You have a Thanksgiving that non-Christians can't celebrate. You have Jesus Christ as your Lord. He's your sustainer. He's your protector. He's the one who will be with you even to the ends of the earth, which is way past running for political office. You know what to do. You can do it. And I'm so thrilled every time I see it done. God bless you. This is Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show. I encourage you to sit tall on the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.